Welcome to the Washington State Hiking Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Twing Flaming. Along with my part-time co-host, guidebook author Craig Romano, we provide practical and timely seasonal hiking advice for hikers, trail runners, and potential hikers and trail runners of all skill and ability levels that is helpful, accurate, fun, and inclusive. We would love to hear from you, our listeners. The second link in the show notes, right below the tip jar, hint, hint, is our voice memo link. Please leave us a voice memo with your question, and we will answer it in a future episode. Okay, everybody, today we are talking about the Columbia River Gorge, and Craig is going to share with us a ton of details about it because he has a brand new book all about hikes in the Columbia River Gorge. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And spring is an especially good time to visit the gorge. So it kind of works out well. So, Craig, when I think of the gorge in spring, I think of wildflowers and waterfalls. Am I kind of getting the most important things there?
Yeah, absolutely. The gorge is known, it's renowned for its waterfalls and wildflowers. But first, before we even start, there might be some of you out there when I mentioned the Columbia River Gorge. Oh, yeah, I've been there. I saw some great concerts out there. And no.
Yeah.
So when we talk
that's
about
that's a different place.
And,
yes.
And I've had this so many times, people have mentioned, oh, you're going to Columbia River Gorge, you're going to go do some climbing down in Vantage. No. When I'm talking about the Columbia River Gorge, I'm talking about the Oregon-Washington border, the Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Area. Most of it. And let me just give you a little background on it, what's so important, why it's such a standout. It is an incredibly beautiful place. I mean, historically, from the very beginning when people were settling the area and such, realized it is the only place in the entire Cascade Range where a river cuts it at sea level. Mm-hmm. There. So it's created some very different climates between both sides, just the fact. So getting it, if it wasn't, you know, the Oregon Trail came through there, it was a popular transportation corridor, highways, railroads, if none of that was ever there, it would have become one of our national parks back 100 years ago, just because of the significance.
It's so unique.
So
yeah.
What happened, it never became a national park, and as Portland, Vancouver started growing through the 80s, and people realized a lot of the threats, we're going to lose this incredible place, there was a big battle to protect it, and it became protected in 1986 as a national scenic area, the only one of its kind, had bipartisan support. What was interesting at the time, though, it had very, very heavy Republican support between the governors and senators at the time in that area, and very, very controversial. People were against, a lot of the counties were against it, how it changed. Most people have changed the idea. But here's what's interesting. When Ronald Reagan was president during that time, he was not a big proponent of expanding public parks. This was his only major, in his 8 years of president, his only major environmental piece that he signed.
Wow.
And there's lots of stories about it. It's fascinating. I write about some of this in my book, how this came to be. There's entire books just on the process. But yeah. All these years now, since 1986, if this had not happened, I can't imagine it would be, the sprawl would go out. So here's where you drive outside of Troutdale in Oregon or Washougal in Washington, and boom, you're immediately into this landscape that's been protected. And a lot of people that fought this 40 years ago have come around saying it was the greatest thing we ever did to protect this area. So it's fascinating. So it's a very, very special place, how it all came together. And since it's not a national park, people have always lived on the land. Of course, indigenous people have always lived on the land, still live on the land, the tribes and everything. How do we integrate all this?
Yeah.
So that's so. As a resource, it's absolutely amazing. It's right outside of Portland. It's Portland's backyard. Portland's proud of it. The waterfalls, you know, Multnomah Falls are there. It's one of the most, I think it is the number one tourist attraction in Oregon. It's an incredible waterfall.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, then in the old highway that was built through there was, you know, they created back then, it wasn't to get you there fast. It was to work to see things. And so a lot of that highway has been converted into bike path now, which is unbelievable. So it's a great place to cycle. The trails are amazing. But the gorge has some things. It's known for its wildflowers and its waterfalls. It's also known for its steepness because you're starting at sea level and you're looking out, especially the Oregon side of those 4,000 foot mountains on their side. That's 4,000 feet of elevation gain. So, people use it a lot for training. Mount Defiance, which is the granddaddy of the gorge, is over 5,000 feet. It's the highest point in the National Scenic Area. People will use that to train for Rainier or Hood or bigger. So you'll see it's the same crazies there going up and down that thing. and it is steep and it is rough.
People being very hardcore.
Very, very hardcore. And the other thing I should mention too, you know, the Northwest, we really were aware of how volcanoes have shaped this landscape. It is so evident in the gorge. For one, you know, hear about the Bridge of the Gods, where it was a landslide that came in and blocked the Columbia River, and a lot of the tribes all have stories about how this occurred and everything about the Bridge of the Gods, and the great floods all in there. It's unbelievable, the stories in here. But when you're standing on some of these peaks, you'll see five volcanoes. It's incredible.
You're looking at
Hood's right there, right above you. You got Mount Adams, you know, Washington's second highest peak, St. Helens. You can see Rainier, Mount Jefferson, Oregon's second highest peak. So the whole, you're just aware of this volcanism. And then you stand on that divide and you're looking to the west and it's just old growth forest and greenery. And you look to the right and it's golden hills. It's shrub, you know, that sage steppe, really, really dry flower. And it's abrupt. Within 20 miles, you're going to get this incredible transition. So much. And then with wildlife, same thing, because of this convergence of landscapes and weather. I mean, the wind storms and everything. You have so many different flowers, the endemics there. The flowers are incredible. I mean, there's books that have been written just on the gorge, on their wildflowers.
Yeah.
So if you've never been there, you're in for a treat, because anything you begin with is going to be great. And for those who have, you know, I've spent many, many years exploring down there. My wife grew up in Clark County and outside of Vancouver down there, spent a lot of time. Boy, I'm still discovering things in the gorge, and it's one of my absolute favorite places.
Awesome.
Not only in the country, but I mean, not only in the Northwest, but in the country. And people come from all over the country to see it.
It's really unique. Yeah. It's a very interesting landscape. So I know we talked about some waterfalls in the gorge in our spring episode. So I believe we talked about Falls Creek Falls on the Washington side, and Eagle Creek on the Oregon side, and Dry Creek on the Oregon side. Right. Are there any other, so go back and listen to that episode if you missed that one, because we talked about it a bit there too. Are there any other waterfalls in the gorge on either the Washington or Oregon side that you'd want to call out as being particularly great?
Yeah, there's a lot. Matter of fact, one of my favorites, it's actually the closest to Portland. Of all the waterfall, what they call Waterfall Alley, the first part where there's just one waterfall after another, they're all gorgeous, is La Tourelle. And La Tourelle, even though it's the closest, it's not the most crowded, because you don't get off the highway first to get there. So it gets overlooked by a lot of people. You start right from the trailhead. There's the lower falls. You don't even have to go anywhere. It's right there. But you can just do this wonderful loop.
It's always good when the trailhead is really scenic. You're like, even if this is as far as I get, I have had an experience.
Right. You can go back and tell everybody. This is wonderful loop. You hike to an upper falls and you can circle around. There's old growth forest. That one's wonderful. There's Ponytail Falls, Horsetail Falls. These are short hikes. You know, anyway, Ponytail is incredible that you hike behind it. You go underneath. It's a shelf. You go through. So in the spring, I mean, it's flowing. It's like going behind a shower. That's a great waterfall. People love that one. You never get tired of that. Over in Beacon Rock State Park, there on Hardy Creek, there's several falls there. Same thing, just a couple miles to get there. Some of the better falls on the Washington side. And then Falls Creek Falls, which is in Washington, is probably the most spectacular falls of all of them. But it's a little outside of the gorge. And then in the Trapper Creek Wilderness, which is just same thing, that Wind River area. There's lots of little waterfalls in that area as well. So definitely go out there and discover them. But they're probably within a 20-mile stretch on the Oregon side. It's just one after another after another.
Cool.
And yeah, this is the time of year. Triple Falls, I forgot to mention. And this is the time of year. It truly is. It's three paralleling falls in this area. You come back in the end of summer, there's only two of them there. So it's a Triple Falls right now. That's another really unique waterfall in the area.
Cool. Okay. Awesome. So what about wildflowers? So if people have heard of wildflower hikes in the gorge, they've probably heard about Dog Mountain.
Oh yeah, Dog is world famous. But as we know,
people don't need us to learn about Dog Mountain. So what are some of your favorite, maybe less banana pants busy wildflower hikes in the gorge?
Over on the Oregon side is the Tom McCall Preserve. It's a nature conservancy preserve, and there's two different hikes. There's one on a plateau, one goes up on a peak. That's a spectacular one. The Memelus Hills near Mosier and the Mosier Plateau, which was a property protected by the Friends of the Columbia River Gorge, Friends of the Gorge, they very, very instrumental, and they were also instrumental in getting the National Scenic Area established. So they're continue to be watchdogs and educators and advocates for the gorge. I'm a member. I'm calling them out. If you care about the gorge, definitely check them out.
Awesome.
So they own some properties there. Over in Lyle on the Washington side, the Lyle Cherry Orchard, another spectacular. Matter of fact, that's the cover of my book. And what's interesting in when you look at gorge books, up until mine came along, they were all Oregon centric. It was almost like everything was in Oregon. Where I show you that's actually Washington's. There's more on the Washington side.
We love you, Oregon, but we are Washingtonians.
so if you want more of a Washington emphasis on here, but yeah, the Lyle Cherry Orchard is fascinating. The flowers there are absolutely spectacular. Same thing this time of year. Anything in the Catherine Creek area, which is, again, is on the eastern side, on the Washington eastern side, the Coyote Wall. It's a very, very popular mountain biking area. But if you go more toward, there's other areas of Catherine Creek that aren't as heavily used. Wildflowers are spectacular. There's a universal trail in Catherine Creek, an ADA, so wheelchair accessible.
Awesome.
That's really good flowers and early in the season, so that's definitely worth. Matter of fact, there are some really wonderful ADA trails in the gorge. Beacon Rock has another one. And everyone knows Beacon Rock for the rock and Mount Hardy, but over along the river, along one of the there's a former pasture, there's a great wheelchair accessible trail there. Over in the Klickitat River, there's another one. So that's there's quite a few in the area. So again, it's very, very accessible to people of all abilities. Yeah,
really cool. Okay, we're gonna take a short break, and when we come back, we're gonna talk more about the gorge. Hi everyone, Jenny here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast so far. Just wanted to let you know about our SpeakPipe, which is our voice memo recording. Craig and I would love to hear your questions and comments so that we can answer your questions and talk about your comments in a future episode. So please go to the link in the show notes. It's right below the tip jar. And go in there and click on that, and then you can record a message and we'll get it and we'll answer it in the future. Thanks for being part of the podcast. Back to the show. Okay, Craig and I are back, and we're talking about the Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Area, which is on the Washington-Oregon border. So we are not talking about the Gorge Amphitheater or the parts of the Columbia River further north in Washington. So that's what we're talking about. We've talked about waterfalls and wildflowers. So are there any other wildflower trails that we should specifically call out, Craig, or did we get with Catherine Creek and Lyle?
Many great wildflowers, and this is actually a good segue because I know, Jenny, you wanted to talk about views.
Yeah.
One of the absolute best wildflower hikes in Washington, period, is Silver Star. Mm. And Silver Star, It's interesting that it's Vancouver's backyard, and everyone in Vancouver knows and been there. But so many people in Portland, it's becoming more aware. But for a long time, you know, you can be stuck on the hills. There was it Terwilliger Hills there, looking out across, and you're looking out across at Silver Star, and people have no idea. It's pretty close to Vancouver. It's part of the Yalkalt Burn.
And we're just to clarify, we're talking about Vancouver, Washington.
Vancouver, Washington.
In this episode, not Vancouver, BC. Right. Like we will talk about in other.
And as they say in Vancouver, it's Vancouver, Washington, Clark County, not Nevada. You know,
yes.
So, yeah, poor Vancouver's always had this. But I'll tell you another, Vancouver's come a long way too, if you haven't been there. And I have written an entire Urban Trails book on Vancouver, Washington, because it's incredible. Again, 30 years ago, it was a sleepy little city. Now it's got its own vibe. So call out to the Couve. So Silver Star, if you've never been there, because everybody in Vancouver has been up there, it's part of the old Yalkalt Burn. It went up in flames 100 plus years ago. And what that's, you know, as things have come back, it's just, it's open. It's a lot of, the flowers are absolutely amazing there. It usually melts out by Memorial Day, so you can get up there early in the year. The hikes are incredible. Why is it called Silver Star? The mountain looks like a star from a view. So the views up there are absolutely stunning. Even if you know if there are flowers, you're looking out again at the five volcanoes. You're looking down at the Columbia River. You can see the Portland, Vancouver metropolitan area.
That's very cool.
It's a whole roadless area of peaks that people are not familiar with. There are old vision pits that indigenous people that in the area used to go up. Young warriors, young members of the tribe would go up to have visions. So these rock pits there. Yeah, there's some really cool things on that whole area. It's the roads can be rough getting in there. That's being addressed now by the Washington Trails Association and others. For many, many years, it was abused. It was off-road vehicle. It was kind of no one paid it. But it's people realizing how valuable it is for flowers and wildlife and as a recreational gem, especially as Vancouver. You know, it's our fourth largest city in the state now.
Yeah.
So great place. Same thing for views and flowers. Again, I'd send you over part of the Gorge Scenic Area, but you have to access it through Hood River.
Okay.
And through the back is the Wadham Lake area. And you start really high up at almost 4,000 feet. So you can do several peaks. There's Indian Mountain. There's Chinadair Peak. There's Tom Lake Peak. Every one of those has 360-degree views.
Cool.
Hood is right on you. It's breathing down on you.
Yeah.
There you're looking down into old-growth forest, out towards you can see views of the river, views of Rainier and Mount Adams. Absolutely spectacular areas. And those areas, I mean, they're but not crowded. It takes a little effort to get there. But one of probably the unsung mountain of the gorge is a very, very few people think about this peak, and in my original Gorge book, I left it out. It's in the new book. Is Green Point Mountain, and it's the second highest peak in the gorge. A lot of people don't know it because it's kind of it's not pronounced. It's more of a long ridge.
Yeah.
But there's several cliffs and ledges along the way, and it's spectacular. You're up on this, and you're looking out. A series of small lakes down below. You've got Mount Defiance, which is the highest peak in the gorge, right across the way from you. And then again, Hood, Adams, Rainier, without the crowds. So Greenpoint is wonderful. And there's also some cool things there, too. You can hike there. There's an old cabin that was part of a World War II relay radio tower. So the history when, you know, we were under siege, there was a lot. They had to protect stuff in the gorge. It was an important area to protect Portland. So there's lots of World War II history in there. So all these little things that you wouldn't be aware of if it wasn't pointed out to you.
Cool. Awesome. Any others we should talk about before we wrap up?
For viewpoints, there's and you'll get, I mean, I mentioned Mount Defiance, though it is a good viewpoint. It's not the best that there's towers on the top and everything, but it's great. So some of these other ones I was telling you about have far better views. But Nesmith Point, which is, also, on the western side of Oregon, is a tough hike that has great views. Angel's Rest, which is a very, very popular hike, but it's not that high. You can do it year-round. Spectacular views of the river. There's actually even a small waterfall you can pass in there. It's very few of these hikes don't have great views. That's the thing. And, then even on, we talked about Dog Mountain, which is one of my 100 classic hikes.
Yes.
But dogs too crowded. You can go, there's alternative hikes. There's a whole group of hikes. It's called the Monte Carlo, Monte Cristo area. It's Washington DNR property. Many people are not familiar with it.
Mm.
There are some wonderful hikes in that region, and they're not crowded at all. Matter of fact, I want to see more people find these trails because we might lose them. It's a neat area that, again, in a lot of wildflowers that a lot of people have not discovered.
So. Mm-hmm. Cool. Awesome. And are there any particular, like, especially thinking about when you were researching this book, are there any places to eat that jumped out as being really great anywhere in the gorge? I know... it's really known for its wineries and also its craft breweries. Are there any places you ate that were like awesome?
There are, but unfortunately, you know, I stayed in the Dalles a lot, and there was a couple of Mexican restaurants I went to frequently, and of course I can't remember their names. But there's Hood River definitely has some decent places too. And I'll tell you, this may sound, you know, if you're basic, you know, you want a decent burger, kind of a chain, I have to give a shout out to Burgerville.
Nice.
Because first of all, I don't know if people aren't aware, they're founded in Vancouver. They're a Washington company.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that. You
know, so, and they, I think they're over 60 years old now, and everything they buy is local and sourced. So Tillamook products and
that's
seasonal
awesome.
Too. So many of us, we know that in the fall, you know, blueberry shakes, pumpkin shakes.
Yep.
So I love Burgerville. It's a great place. But again, you know, I'm one of those people, I just love food, but I don't pay attention. Troutdale actually has some decent, there's actually a really good Italian restaurant in Troutdale.
Wow.
I can't remember the name. I've been there a couple of times. And brew pubs too over in Cascade Locks. There's Thunder Island, which is really really popular with hikers, and particularly PCT, because the PCT goes right through Cascade Locks. So a lot of the through hikers, that's a place.
So we're talking about the Pacific Crest Trail.
That's a place that can be really happening towards the end of the summer.
When people are hitting Washington.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a lot of hikers and dirtbaggers are sitting on those nice lawns having having a beer. So Thunder Island is a very, very popular spot right in the heart of the gorge. And likewise, in the Stevenson on the Washington side, there's also some good brew pubs on that side as well.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Love it. Okay, everybody, get out there and hike the gorge.